Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We lead with the American Athletic Conference tournament over the weekend and the NCAA tournament going forward. I'll ask you, Jeffrey, right off the bat, was this the greatest weekend, the most fun weekend for the Memphis Tigers since the John Calipari era?
So you're asking on court?
Yeah, everything just all wrapped up in one. Was this the most? Was this the best moment in Memphis basketball since John left?
I think so. I think the nature of the way that the schedule played out. Obviously, on Friday, UCF has that big charge in the second half, and you're starting to think like, oh God, really? And then they just kind of put the game away. And then on Saturday night, that's about as fun of a way to get quote-unquote revenge as you could possibly imagine. And then yesterday, you know, Houston got it to like one at the midway part of the first half. Then the Tigers just kind of like put pedal to the metal. They had a slow start in the second half, but like the whole time they just controlled the game. And I do think it was very important to win a trophy with Houston still in the league. And that's about as satisfying of a weekend as you could possibly have.
There have been, if you take that question and think about other possibilities, if the question is greatest moment since the John Calipari era, the other is in contention, it strikes me. I mean, Josh won a conference tournament that he had to win, came back, to beat UTEP to get the automatic bid in a year when they would not have gotten the bid. That was a sensational, fun, great day. I'll discuss the merits of that versus this one in a minute. And then you had Josh got his first win in the NCAA tournament, not insignificant, over St. Mary's. You had the wins over Louisville that Josh had, which were massive wins. Beat him twice 1 year. And then Penny, honestly, you had, the wins over Houston last year. And then last year, they got an NCAA tournament win. Like, and you would say, Jeffrey, which ranks, generally speaking, not specific to this team, this moment, this year, generally speaking, which is bigger, NCAA tournament win or a conference tournament championship?
Generally speaking, it's a postseason sport, so the tournament. I still think that weekend was...
Generally speaking.
Yeah, a tournament win's just bigger.
Generally speaking, a tournament win is bigger. But I actually think for this team, the way it played out, as much fun as it was, this was the biggest. I think this is the most fun, biggest moment since the John Calipari era, which really means it's the most fun, biggest moment since they got to the Final Four. Because the next weekend, there was the next year under Calipari, there was always this sort of gloom hanging over them. And one of the things, by the way, that I was explaining to this, one of the columnists from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram was sitting next to me and asked me about Penny. And I said, one of the great things about having Penny as the Memphis basketball coach is you don't have any of the drop drama. Like, either direction. Like, they're not firing him. Like when he loses to Tulane, if he had been Joe Smith, you know, lose to Tulane for the second time, there might have been rumblings, you know, even whether they were deserved or not. Like, that's what happened. And then at this point, if he were Joe Smith, there might be, oh, might he go somewhere? It's just spectacular in this day and time to have a coach who you know is going to be here. But given everything, given the promise 5 years ago when Penny took the job, and it will be the 20th is the anniversary of him taking the job. So that's next week. So it's just 8 days. Yesterday was 8 days shy of the anniversary of him taking the job when he said he's going to bring championships. And he was interesting yesterday because he was really humble about it. He said, I said I was going to win national championships. I skipped right over conference championships. And he meant that as how crazy was that? Like, I didn't sort of realize how hard it was going to be, you know, almost disrespectful, he was suggesting, to look back and say that he was just going to win national championships. And given everything that has been thrown at him, a pandemic and the roster turmoil, some of that obviously he created himself. And then the IARP NCAA proceedings, for which he was completely vindicated. That was hanging over him and destroyed an early part of his career. For him to finally win that conference championship, to have that trophy, meant an enormous amount. And it meant an enormous, like, that partly the reason that it, yes, if this was the third straight year they'd done it, you might say, all right, the NCAA win is more important. But given the way that it played out, given the context, I honestly don't think there's any question. And then you point out the way the weekend played out was just each one of those games was really fun in different ways. You had the Central Florida game. Do you recall a game where two players, obviously DeAndre Williams and Kendrick Davis, where two players have at one point they had scored until 18 seconds remained in that second half. They had scored every point for the Tigers except for one Malco free throw. And then Chandler Lawson went to the line. I think he got two more. So they got all but three of the second half points. That was astonishing. You almost couldn't believe what was unfolding. And folks went and scrambled for the last time two Tigers had scored 30. It turns out to be Omar Steed and Detrick Golden, I think, is the pair. But, you know, folks were looking way back to Larry and all of that. Do you recall a game where two players have dominated quite to that extent?
I couldn't think of one. Like, I was even racking my brain, like, for teams that had, like, no. That was – and it was really fitting, too, right? Because those two players have been the cornerstones of this team. And I felt like they set the tone. You could tell that this tournament meant something to them, and I thought the way that those two performed all weekend was very fitting for them.
Yeah, I literally went back to the first column I wrote from the first game of the year against Vanderbilt, and it was the same thing. It wasn't to that extent, but it was Vanderbilt made a run in the second half, and literally I wrote, you know, they got two players now who don't let this happen. And that's what happened at Vanderbilt, and that's what happened throughout this year, never more so than Friday night. So then comes Saturday, and they absolutely demolished Tulane, and it was neatly summarized in one moment with the DeAndre Williams dunk. I'll be honest. I didn't know he had it in him. Like, that dunk. I had asked John Martin. I said, is that the greatest Memphis dunk since Chris Douglas Roberts? And he pointed out, well, T.J. Stephens played in Memphis.
Yeah,
and
he's a leaper.
His dunks were crazy. His dunks were crazy. But there are some dunks that summarize a moment, right? Like, that's partly, it was the CDR dunk was a spectacular dunk, but it also symbolized something.
Yes.
It was Memphis rolling over UCLA, this team that at that point had been pretty much discounted, and was just, it was symbolic of, we're here, and we're not, you know, this is who we are.
And there's just also something about having that type of moment at the Final Four.
Like, yeah, that's what everybody's watching. That was a miniature of that. This was a holy crap, we are here. Because, like, I what's interesting is, first of all, it was a crazy play, because if you look at the where he catches the ball in his right hand, by the way, one-handed, his hand is about 3 feet to the side of the hoop at that point. He's cutting in from the right, but it wasn't like thrown up. It was thrown up 3 feet away from the wind, and he windmills it down. It was just tremendous. Talking about it later, DeAndre said, oh, yeah, he made a great pass, and I just converted. And KD said, no, that's not what happened. He literally corrected him from the stand. He said, what happened was this. He said, in the walkthrough, Penny said that when the first guy cuts, this defender is going to leave you, and it's going to be, like, basically, he said, Penny drew this play up in the walkthrough, in the warm-ups, and that's pretty much what happened. So there was that spectacular dunk on Saturday. And then yesterday, it was, you know, they're up by 20. KD hits those back-to-back three-pointers, and it is rolling over a Houston team that is the number one team, according to Associated Press, in the country. And then, because, you know, it couldn't be that easy again, they made their run. They got it down to five. When they got it down to five, did you think that Houston might win?
I really didn't. I don't know why. I just felt like, we've seen Memphis all year. Teams can make a run on them, and it can even get a little shaky, but they always find a way to kind of stabilize. Like, even if you compare it to last Sunday's game against Houston, they were chasing the entire time. But they've been pretty good when they have a lead, even if a team makes a run. They've been pretty good at stabilizing at some point and kind of finding a way. And that's exactly what I thought happened yesterday.
Well, and the way typically is because you got KD. Like, what happens is that they say, all right, yeah, we're going to leave this up to KD. You know, like, I mean, like, you've got KD and DeAndre. You go, like, okay, we have to remember what got us here. Although, Alex Lomax certainly had a big hand in it. He found DeAndre Williams for a three-pointer, a critical three-pointer, that was, I think, restored the lead to eight. And then he had to steal, and the layup, and then he grabbed the old trophies there, and I actually asked him about it. I asked him about it in the post-game press conference, and, you know, I tried to be discreet, Jeffrey. You know,
diplomatic.
I tried to be diplomatic. I tried to be discreet. And Alo was having none of it. Here is Alex Lomax on that moment.
That massive steal when Houston was making their push into your celebration, I guess I'll call it, afterwards. What was going through your mind at that point, both the steal and the celebration?
I mean, in that moment, it was just, you know, an out-of-body experience. You know, I was just feeling free. So if you want to know what I said, I told them, you know, I got big nuts. You know, and I held them. Because, that's truth. And I know it might have been unprofessional in the moment, but there's just something that, you know, that I had to let out. I got a lot of emotions that I don't let out, so that was just one in that moment. So, you know, hopefully in March Madness, we'll get a part two of that.
How great was that? I was a little
startled. Just an all-time line.
I got big nuts, so I held them. Because it's true. So there you go. And a great moment. Obviously, A-Lo has been there, you know, every step of the way for him to come through. It has been, you know, this year has been defined by injury for him to have that moment. He could honestly, as long as he held his nuts, he could have gotten that back for as long as he held his nuts. How did it look? Could you tell what was happening on TV there, Jeffrey?
I mean, yeah, he kind of had to be paying attention. Like, they didn't like, focus up on it.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah, it was kind of tough to miss.
Probably a good thing. So, and then they were just so damn happy afterwards. Honestly, you're exactly right. It meant, the other reason we can say this is the greatest moment since the Cal era is how much it meant to them. Right, like right down the line, it it's partly because the road that they've each traveled. You know, we've talked about the road that Penny traveled. That's what I wrote about the Daily Memphian, is the 5 years and everything he's been through. And so this meant an enormous amount to him. But then KD, like KD said it from the start, like I came to Memphis because I wanted a part of this. I wanted to win an NCAA. I wanted to get to the NCAA tournament. And to see him after, just, you know, in tears, buckled over, really, when the game ended. And then there's DeAndre Williams, who's, you know, had a 26-year journey, as you may have been reminded at some point along the way. And it's just the biggest goofball. He just has this tremendous smile. There was one point, yes, last night in the celebration, where he got down on the court so he could kind of make snowmen in the confetti. Like, it was like it meant so damn much to them that it was impossible to watch and not be thrilled for them. And the other thing that was really interesting to me is that Kendrick Davis, as much as this meant to him personally, he was asked about sort of he was just asked why it meant so much. And he started talking about the city of Memphis, and here's that clip.
Yeah, start with the city, man. I know we had a rough time with, you know, Tyree. Everybody know that situation. And just, you know, sometimes the city get, you know, a bad spotlight. So coach always tell us, you know, we the city's hope. And we were able to say we did it for the city. And Memphis is like a second home to me, you know. It's really, man, they embraced me since day one. So, most importantly, man, I'm glad to make the city happy. Coach, I always talk about the city, you know, making the city happy, playing hard for the city. And can't too many teams say they get to play for a city. You know, you play for a university, but we play for a city, and I'm glad to say that, you know, they can remember this.
It was a remarkable thing for a guy who has been here for less than a year to say, because he brought it up. Like, he wasn't asked, what does this mean for the city of Memphis? That wasn't the question. The question was, just, why does this mean so much? And he said, I'm going to start with the city. And it's one thing for Penny to say that. Penny, obviously, you know, a son of Memphis, stories well chronicled, came back here in order to restore the program and to win for the city. But the idea that Kendrick Davis, in less than a year, could come in here and understand that and take that to get part of what motivates him is kind of astonishing. And it to me speaks to his perceptiveness and his sense of appreciating what matters, but also it speaks to how much Penny talks about it. You know, the fact that Penny is able to transmit that love for the city to Kendrick Davis you know, in less than a year. And so that Kendrick Davis brings it up, because it's true. Most basketball programs play for the university, or the broad, whatever. Like they don't say, "Hey, this is for the city." It's really unique, and for Kendrick to appreciate that, I thought was really striking in the moment. So there you have it. It was an absolutely fabulous weekend for Memphis basketball. And now they've got Florida Atlantic Friday. And then if they win that, they will play Purdue almost certainly on Sunday. They are an 8th seed. It's absolutely true that – let me ask you this, Jeffrey. If they had beaten Houston a week ago and then lost to Houston yesterday, would they be better than an 8?
I think they'd probably still be in the same spot. I think the only way they probably could have moved was beating Houston on both Sundays, because I think what we saw this weekend was oftentimes people still kind of think, oh, you get into these conference tournaments and their chances to like kind of salvage everything. Really what they've been treating them like as, well, if you stub your toe, it's a chance to get your way back in. But they don't really – the bracket's not really moving a ton based on conference tournaments one way or the other.
I think it did – I think this tournament did almost nothing for them.
Yeah.
You know, it was hugely important. It's kind of preposterous how little these things mean now. You know, maybe Kansas would have been – you think Kansas would have been a higher number one if they had not gotten smashed by Texas? And obviously, teams did things in the tournament. Marquette did. Penn State did. Like, there were teams that had good tournament runs. But fundamentally, this was a moment yesterday to appreciate on its own terms, not because of what it did for Memphis's seeding. Now, I will say that if you had to be an 8-9 – and so, therefore, you had to be playing one of the number ones in the second game if you advance. And I'll say that if you're like, there's going to be a lot of talk about Purdue this week because yeah. They're a number one and because they have a 7'4" dude who was fun to talk about. You can easily lose to Florida Atlantic. They shoot a bazillion threes, and if they hit a bazillion threes, you know you'll have your hands full. But I do think it is the draw that Memphis would have wanted if you're going to be an 8-9 to get Purdue. And by the way, in Columbus, people can drive to Columbus. I think it's not unlike last year, only it's a much better version of last
yeah.
year. Your thoughts on their draw?
Yeah, I kind of think that, okay, if you take it in totality, yes, FAU's a 9 seed, and their metrics say that, you know, they're not exactly underseeded. This team lost to Ole Miss. And
right. Beat Florida.
Yeah.
Beat Florida, right?
But
Ole Miss beat the hell out of UAB.
Yeah, and
but
I don't
they
know.
Lost to Ole Miss.
I just that, think
that,
over
that, to me you're exactly right. That sentence, they
yeah.
lost to Ole Miss.
Like
there you go, you know.
They're 31-3. Like you get credit for winning games. That's the point of the entire operation is to win games. I just know that if I'm Memphis, I'm not exactly concerned about, you know, I feel pretty good about that matchup. And then with Purdue, you know, Purdue wins the Big Ten tournament. They win the Big Ten. But having watched
They got young guards.
And then Zach Edey's obviously, like, he is a mesmerizing figure to watch because he's just so big and it's just unlike anything you've ever seen. But I mean, what do we always talk about come NCAA tournament time? The team with senior, you know, established guards typically have the best spot. Well, Memphis has that in this situation. I also think it's very big for Memphis. It feels like they're getting healthy now, and I think that's a big part of it.
Memphis getting healthy now, meaning who?
Like, you know, Malco is starting to look better. Like we talk
no,
about,
he's giving you real minutes. Yeah.
Some of the other, you know, one of the other kind of little moments I thought was a big moment yesterday, before DeAndre hit that three, there was a possession where Memphis got like four shots at it, and Malco finally just like got the ball and just went physical straight up and got a bucket. I thought that was big because it kind of it felt like if Memphis didn't score there, they were going to really kind of be on their heels. I thought that was a big one. But Alo's getting healthier. I mean, yes, you still don't have Keontae, but I mean, for the most part, Memphis is pretty healthy right now.
Let me ask you that. If Memphis were to lose to FAU, would you call the season a success?
I think so, because you accomplished something that you haven't done in the Penny Hardaway era. You won a trophy while Houston was in the league, and I think when you take the season in its totality, the biggest question overall was what was going to happen with the IARP. You got the win there. I think you also showed, hey, you don't have to do it with just these big, you know, big name freshmen and whatnot. They found a way to build a roster that's not this overwhelming, oh my God, look at all these players rosters. And I think it's important that there's just some stability. Like, don't you feel better about Penny being able to put together another tournament roster next year after seeing him essentially redo it again this year?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. If you compare where you were, my God, like, and I gather in the telecast they brought up the stop asking stupid effing questions exchange.
Yes, they had mentioned that.
It's kind of, I thought it was a last year story. I didn't realize they're still doing it this year. Anyway, so it's remarkable. You're right. Like, we forget the IARP vindication. That's gone. And that has been a defining part of Penny's tenure, to have that cloud gone. Secondly, I honestly don't think there's much doubt that he can coach now. You know, like, I don't know, he may not be the best coach in the world, he may not be whatever, but he assembled, like, his teams get better. This seemed like a well-coached team to me. And it was interesting hearing him talk about the importance of, like, how much he admires Kelvin Sampson, because that's how he sees himself. He doesn't see himself in terms of being a coach. He doesn't see himself as some marquee idol. He sees himself as a grinder, like Kelvin Sampson, but who builds a culture.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.